Welcome, everybody. Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current commercial real estate market here in Southern California. As we take a no BS look at both sides of the issues driving this market today to find the best solutions going forward. With our man right in the middle, it's Barry Saywitz. Hey, Barry.
Hey, good morning, Paul, and good morning to all of our viewers and our listeners out there. We are back here again, fortunately or unfortunately, depending upon how you look at it. It is Tuesday. We are talking more real estate. I am Barry Saywitz, president of the Saywitz Company and managing partner of Barry Saywitz Properties. And if it's one thing I've learned in my 30-plus years of doing this, it's to try and surround yourself with good people, smart people, and good information so you can make good decisions. And I'm hoping today we help the folks out there that are tuning in to be able to do that. So I'm excited about today's show. Before we get going, I do want to do a shout out. We are in post St. Paddy's Day mode. So to all the Irish men and women out there who celebrated and hopefully are recovered at this point, we are moving on to the next set of holidays, whether you're still in spring break or looking forward to Easter or Passover, whatever you got cooking. We'll be here for you. And so with that said, I want to welcome our guest today, Dimitri Gutierrez, who is the president of Capital Equity Investments here in Orange County, a company based in Orange County in Tustin, California. Dimitri, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, so thanks for coming in. You're a longtime resident of Orange County. Been around, I'll just say, quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually came here. My mom and dad brought my sister and I from Denver, Colorado, after a huge snowstorm in the 60s. And I remember moving into El Toro, California, in our first house, and we used to have to do our grocery shopping in Santa Ana.
That's not so close, right? I mean, so it's a 20, well, I guess back then maybe the traffic wasn't so bad, but still a 25-minute drive.
Right. The only place we can get Milkberry was at Cook's Corner.
Really? That's funny, which is a bar for those of you who don't know. And so you've obviously seen Orange County grow and blossom and expand. And obviously the growth in the real estate market in all facets of it gave you an opportunity to be able to get involved in that side of things. And so for those folks who aren't aware, Capital Equity Investments is a commercial real estate financing company, commercial real estate lending, brokering, et cetera. Tell me if I got it right.
That's absolutely right. A little background. I actually received my real estate license in 1980 when I was working at First American Title Company. That was my first real estate job.
And that was back when the headquarters were in downtown Santa Ana.
Yeah, Santa Ana. And the founder, it was actually our boss. And my parents actually were in real estate, and I kind of followed their footsteps. My father was one of the first Century 21 franchise owners in the United States. And they used to film his branch office in Santa Ana with a little gold coat on.
Absolutely. I remember. So it's funny, we tell stories, but I rented a house when I went to school at UCLA, and the agent who came over came in his gold coat, and he had the patch for being like one of the top guys. I mean, that was the masters of real estate, right? At that
point. Right, exactly. And then my mom followed my father. My mom worked at Tarbell, and then she joined my father with the franchise of Century 21, and they were both real estate brokers, and I kind of followed their footsteps, but got away from the residential and got into the commercial real estate syndication side.
And you started at Orange Coast College, moved up to USC, and then ultimately on to Harvard, is that?
Yes, uh-huh. As a matter of fact, when I was working at First American Title, I received my real estate license, decided that I needed to go back to school. I went to Orange Coast College because I was working full-time and went to school part-time. And graduated from Orange Coast College. And, you know, that's where I learned to play tennis, by the way. And after that, I got involved in the real estate syndication business. I worked for a bank called Glendale Federal Savings Bank.
Sure.
I was
sure.
In their syndication department. Prior to that, I was with Newport Pacific Capital in Fashion Island.
Yeah.
And then from the Glendale Federal Savings Bank, I got recruited by a couple of very wealthy gentlemen called the Krupp Companies out of Boston. They were all Harvard MBA grads. Huh. And I was recruited at about 20,000 applicants. And I was a junior guy covering four states in the United States for the Krupp Companies.
And your goal or your role at that point was really to dig up business and be able to cultivate new deals?
Right. I was called technically a junior wholesaler. And I didn't realize how wealthy our owners were. They owned over 20,000 units in the 80s. And it's funny, Barry, because I went back to the company party in 1989 to their 30-plus bedroom mansion in Wellesley, Mass. And at that time, I was living in a one-bedroom apartment in Laguna Niguel, California, and I was raising about $15 to $20 million a year. And I thought, my gosh, I have to get on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. So or get them to adopt you. One right. of the two, right?
So I ended up resigning and started Capital Equity. And right before I resigned, we actually made the front cover of Money Magazine as one of the top real estate syndicators in the country. Huh. We raised $750 million.
And so for those of you who are novices who are out there, real estate syndication, right? You're putting together the real estate deal, you're raising the capital, you're finding the deal, and you're bringing the money in with the property and basically running the show. It's a deal maker.
Correct. And $750 million in 1989 was quite a bit of money.
Oh, that's billions in today's dollars.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
And let's fast forward a little bit. So you start your own company, and then same MO, right? Doing real estate syndications and just doing it for your own benefit as opposed to somebody else?
Right. I actually kept all the financing contacts and ended up getting into the finance side of the field. So I started Capital Equity doing commercial real estate financing in 1989. And at that time, I convinced my mom to join me and get out of the residential and hop over on the finance side. And we were a team for a while.
That's interesting. We have a lot in common. So 1989 is where I sort of come in because I'm a couple of years younger than you. But I remember I started in real estate in October of 1989, and the real estate market crashed in November of 1989, about 2 weeks later.
Right.
And there was an actual crash where people were in panic and the sky was falling and everything else. And so those were difficult times for a lot of people. And a lot of workouts and a lot of properties going back to the bank and a lot of people losing their fortunes that they'd made. How did you make it through that downturn in the market?
You know, I've always had an entrepreneur spirit. I think I've always believed in persistence. Persistence wears down resistance. And I saw that my parents made it from rags to riches, so to speak. And I thought if they can do it, I can do it. So I was inspired.
So, and then you had the family business, which I did as well. As I started to build my company, I brought my father in and he helped with the financing. So
great.
Lots in common. And so, all right, so now let's move forward in the timeline, right? So you're working during the day, you're playing tennis in the evenings, and you're bringing in more people to build your own business. And Orange County now, after the downturn in, you know, the, I'll call it 89, early 90s, starts to come back, and there's still all kinds of growth, right? And so opportunity throughout Southern California and elsewhere as well as the economy recovers. How did you grow your business? Because you can't be a one-man show and you need some help.
Right. I actually just prospected a lot. I worked with a lot of attorneys, a lot of CPAs, a lot of divorce attorneys. I also basically did a lot of marketing. And I was the kind of person that actually went to somebody's office, shook their hand, and sat down and chatted with them. And we got along. It's funny because a lot of people do business with people they like and they trust.
Especially in real estate. And I find that, at least when I got into the real estate business, a lot of it was who you knew as opposed to what you knew. And so the contacts that people had, the trust that people empowered someone with were really important things.
Right. And during that time, I actually found time to go back to school. So after Orange Coast, I went to USC. I went through their executive management program. After that, I went to Harvard Business School. I went through their executive program. And it's funny because you meet a lot of connections in school when you go through the executive programs. I remember one of my classmates' parents or grandparents were one of the founders of Trader Joe's Markets. And he was a quite nice person.
And I would tell you, USC and Harvard, probably two of the best business connection schools that there are out there. Really tight-knit community in terms of alumni and a large aggregation of Trojans here in Orange County, for sure.
I just want to say fight on, Barry.
Yeah, thanks. All right, so I'd say, you know, I'll do an 8-clap for you later. We'll do the UCLA-USC thing when the show's over. But to stick with the real estate, so let's move forward, right? There's a lot of time. So ups and downs in the markets, still lots of growth. I want to go to COVID, and then I'm going to try and get to today. So COVID hits, right? The market is, I would call it, at one of these peaks again. And then all of a sudden, everything just sort of stops because no one knows what's going on. And then there's no deals. because people aren't sure what the future is going to hold. But the real estate market itself, the prices don't drop. They actually continue to go up, and you still have very low interest rates, right? And so good opportunity still for guys like you and me.
Right. As a matter of fact, COVID was interesting because, you know, we thought the sky was falling. I thought maybe, you know, we're coming to an end here. And I actually ended up working through COVID. I owned my own office space, and I wasn't locked out like many people. So I was able to come and go as I pleased. And I worked 7 days a week. And during COVID, Barry, what's interesting is I actually closed a portfolio of 9 golf courses in the Palm Desert, Palm Springs area. And I remember working during Thanksgiving, during Christmas, and during New Year's. And we closed the deal in January. And this was during COVID.
So you close the blinds. Nobody can see in that you're in there. You keep the lights low and plugging away. And there were deals that got done. It's just a very odd time because no one could really see what the future would hold, at least at the early part of COVID. And then as you come out of it, there's higher volumes of transactions. The residential market is still on fire in terms of pricing just because there's low inventory and lots of capital. And then all of a sudden the rates start to go up, right? So I'm now about 18 months ago, if you will, maybe 24 months ago, the rates start to climb. What do you see happening in your world in terms of the lending environment and the transaction volume as the rates start to go up?
As the rates start to go up, we really didn't do many conventional loans. We had a lot of people call us for bridge loans. Maybe they had a bad credit, but they had a lot of equity in their property. And we were doing a lot of bridge loans. We work with probably over 22 hedge funds nationwide. We finance loans up to $100 million. I finance loans from some of my friends at $500,000. And we do all property types. But a lot of people during those times were taking out bridge loans 2 to 3 weeks, sometimes no tax papers required. And a lot of them didn't want to go to the to a bank because, you know, a lot of red tape involved.
Yeah, because so the underwriting with the traditional financial institutions gets a lot more cumbersome, a lot more questions, a lot more analysis on the deal itself. And as a real estate guy, you're trying to get the deal closed. So they go and take the short term money at the higher rate, but no questions and easier process.
Right. And what's interesting, Barry, on the bridge financing, it's interest only. And typically they're 1 to 3 year terms. There's also an interest reserve. Some of their payments are already prepaid for 6 months. And basically it's just a bridge to get them from step A to step B and take out with a perm financing. But it's a lot easier to qualify. And I've actually, Barry, taken out bridge loans myself. If you're buying a dollar's piece of real estate for 50 cents and you need to close in 3 weeks,
right,
you're going to take out a bridge loan because you don't want to lose your deposit.
Right. And in the long term, you'll take out the expensive money. And so for folks out there, I guess give them an idea of what is a typical premium on the bridge financing versus permanent financing. Is it 100 basis points? Is it 300 basis points?
Well, today in normal times and well, actually, today is not normal times, but typically, the rates today would be anywhere from 9 to 12%, interest only. Points could be like 2 to 3 points, and usually the closing time is about 2 to 3 weeks. And we do sometimes not require an appraisal if the LTV is 50% or less, and we can usually close pretty quickly.
Yeah, and so if you need money, that's really the way to go, and especially in an environment where not only are the rates high, but they're rising, and then you're going to get rung through the ringer at a normal financial institution, either you as the borrower or the property itself or both.
Exactly.
So here we are today. The interest rates go up, right? All these people who have what I'm going to call yesterday's rate, and I'm one of them, right? I'm happy for what I have. I'm chugging along and I'm fine. And then I'm cautiously nervous about what happens with rates going forward as to whether they will come back down by the time my loans go to reset and others, or whether they stay where they're at. And so as a buyer of real estate, I get the pitch all the time. Oh, you can buy this. And the rate's not very good today in terms of the return or the cap rate. But when rates come down, you'll be fine, right? And then I say that's a ridiculous way to buy a piece of property. But I'm curious your thoughts in terms of in today's world where you have the what I'm going to call an inverse relationship between the interest rate and the cap rate on a piece of property, especially investment property. How do deals get done with that dynamic?
Well, bridge loans again, Barry.
Bridge loan, short-term loan, hard money loan.
Exactly. A lot of people are taking out bridge loans. It's fast. It's easy. It makes sense. And when the rates do come down, they can go ahead and take it out with perm financing. What's interesting, a lot of people don't know, is that typically we can beat a bank's rate probably 70% of the time. For perm financing, for somebody that's an A borrower with A credit and A properties, we can typically take them to one of our pension, our life, or our endowment funds. And typically they're very competitive, or an agency, and they can typically outprice a bank.
Yeah. But it's got to be stabilized, and you got to be past that sort of
right, exactly.
Period.
You've got to be an A borrower with an A property.
Right.
We always tell people, why don't you send us your term sheet, Mr. Borrower? I'm sure you shop with seven banks, because we know your background. And come to us, bring us a term sheet. If we can beat those terms and those rates, we'll do business together.
Right.
And if we can't, at least you know that you've got the best rate.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what have you seen in the market as a whole over the last sort of 6 to 12 months? Others have come on the show and said the transaction volume is clearly down, not as many deals happening.
Right. Last year, I would say the lending business was down a minimum 50%.
Yeah.
Easy. This year, we're actually pretty busy right now. A lot of loans are coming due. A lot of banks are not lending. Banks are looking for liquidity. As a matter of fact, if we get a bank quote, a lot of the banks would like a banking relationship.
Yeah, well, a lot, I would say almost all. I had that conversation yesterday. They said, Barry, we would lend to you. How much money would you bring over? And I said, how much do you want? And they said, how much do you have? So that's how the conversation goes.
Right. But we do have banks we work with, Barry, that don't require a relationship. But I would say probably 75% of them today do want a banking relationship. And basically, they just don't want a deposit, Barry.
They want
you to bring your whole account over.
I agree.
Or they won't give you a loan.
Right. Or if they do, it's not the same loan that they would give you
if you
brought the whole ball of wax. And it makes perfect sense, right? And so for a guy who used to bank with First Republic, I very well get the relationship side of things, and they were very good to me, and they are now gone. And I was going to ask you about it because while First Republic was a national, if not global, sort of I don't want to call it a meltdown, but you know, event, if you will. A lot of those customers of First Republic who are high net worth, heavy real estate individuals now have to go elsewhere. And I'm curious if those people are coming to you as a result of the fact that the lending environment has changed.
Yes, we work with a lot of wealth management departments in banks. A lot of these high net worth individuals typically are looking for bridge financing right now. They're saying, Dimitri, why should I get locked into a five-year rate today when we're supposed to have a couple rate cuts this year?
Right.
And if you are
locked in, you're on a commercial loan, unlike a residential loan for those out there, there's a prepayment penalty, right? You don't get to just refinance in a year if rates come down. It costs money to do that.
Right, absolutely. And they typically have like a five-year prepay.
Right.
You know, 5%, and then it's a declining prepay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Of course.
But right now, there is still a lot of opportunity. I mean, people are buying office buildings for 50 cents on the dollar and trying to convert them into apartments,
right,
or maybe even a hotel.
Right, or industrial.
Right, exactly. So this is happening a lot right now. We actually finance apartment buildings, retail shopping centers, mobile home parks. Barry, we're actually doing a winery in Napa.
Oh, interesting.
We also look at land loans. We like entitled land loans. But we are working on a few pieces of raw land in Malibu right now.
So it's really all of the above. Would you say that there is a sector in the market that really is more active than others? I mean, the industrial segment of the market still remains hot, and the multifamily as well, from a vacancy standpoint and an activity standpoint. But I'm curious on the deals that you're seeing, are they really looking at different use, right? Whether that's converting to a highest and best use, or is there one piece that you seem to keep seeing more?
Seeing a lot of hotels trying to be converted into apartments.
Well, that makes sense.
Which is really interesting. We're seeing, like I mentioned, a lot of office buildings being converted. We're seeing a lot of out-of-the-box transactions right now where people are trying to make sense of the market.
And what's your prognosis for where we go from here? I know nobody's got a crystal ball, but I guess I'll ask the question. do you see, I mean, people keep talking about, oh, there's going to be rate cuts, there's going to be rate cuts. We haven't seen it, right? So do you think that there will be rate cuts, and will it be enough to move the needle enough to get all the people sitting on the fence off the fence?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
No.
As matter, I want to ask.
Matter of fact, Barry, I was watching Bloomberg the other day, and I really enjoy the Bloomberg show. And they were mentioning that they think that we are not going to see rates like we've seen in the past. And as a matter of fact, this year, it's not really going to move the needle much. And Bloomberg, on the Bloomberg show, one of the economists was talking about interest rates and how they're not going to move much this year at all, if any.
So my follow-up question to that would be, in your crystal ball thinking, if interest rates stay where they are, and I'm just going to call it from a conventional lending standpoint in the low sixes, something to that effect, 6 to 6.5, right? You're not seeing 5% interest rates out there on a daily basis. So if that's the case, and you have apartment buildings, office buildings, industrial buildings still at a 4 cap or less if it's closer to the coast, you still have this inverse relationships. Do you think that cap rates have to rise if interest rates stay at the higher number? Or do people's perceptions, are they still the same, which is, look, eventually it's going to come down, so I'm not going to adjust my price. It seems to me like prices have to come down, but they're not.
Right, right. And I'm not an economist, Barry, but this market is very dicey. It's very sketchy. We're coming into the election year. There's, you know, possible wars that can break out. So I can't really predict the future, but I do think there's still opportunities out there, no matter what type of economic times we're involved in.
And we talk about it in our shop. I feel like you need to find a seller who has to make a deal, whether it's a divorce or a death or a fight between the partners or a loan coming due. There has to be an event where you have a motivated seller, as opposed to the seller who says, look, if I got my price, I would sell, and I'm still stuck in yesterday's price. Those are tough deals to make. And then from a buyer's perspective, there has to be enough of whatever the next thing is of repositioning the property to be able to eke out a return. Because if there's not, then why would I get off the fence and do it? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like while there's still a bigger disconnection between buyer and seller, and sellers are waiting, and buyers don't, many of them don't have to sell, it keeps the transaction volume low. But I agree with you that you've got to pick and choose, and you've got to be careful about the deals that you would buy. Make sure you don't make a mistake.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you mentioned the election. I, too, am anxiously awaiting to see how this goes and how it plays out, and then also how it trickles down and affects our world in commercial real estate. Do you foresee that the election itself will do anything that will trigger the economy that would then roll back to the real estate? Or is it, you know, you're not going to see the results of the election until the end of the year? And so for 2024, forget it. We got what we got.
That's right. That's right. I don't think we're going to see many changes this year at all. I think any changes in the real estate environment is going to take some time, at least, you know, a couple, 2-3 years. Going back to interest rates, because I am in finance, I don't believe we're going to see a huge rate cuts this year at all. We are seeing apartment building interest rates come down a little bit. As long as they're 50% loan to value or less, loan amounts are 5 million to say 50 million range. We have seen some 5.99% fixed rates out there on multifamily, but how many of us have a 50% LTV or less?
And how many of us are buying an apartment building at a 6 cap or greater?
Exactly.
At least in California, that doesn't hunt, right? So that you still have this inverse dynamic, right? And
right.
So, yeah, I mean, look, these are things that struggle with on a daily basis. Do you think that other factors in the economy, you mentioned war, certainly inflation, right? Wages, rent control on the apartment side of things. These are all what I consider to be either negative or potentially negative for what's going on. If you had a list of here's the negative things, here's the potentially negative, and here's the positive's not that, I don't want to sound negative, but the positive is not that long of a list.
I agree.
The only thing positive is rates could come down.
Right. I agree. I think in this environment, in this economy, it's kind of like the weather, Barry. Anything can happen.
Like it rained here yesterday out of the blue.
Absolutely. I think basically it's time to button down the hatches, to be a little bit conservative, to look for a dollar's piece of real estate for 50 cents if you can find it, maybe do a conversion, maybe take out a bridge loan instead of a long-term fixed interest rate loan. Because if rates do come down, you don't want to get stuck in a high rate with a five-year prepay, do you, Barry?
No, you don't. And then the issue becomes, for someone who is sitting on the sidelines with cash, trying to find that needle in the haystack, good deal or great deal to make, what do you do with your money? And so at the moment, you know, it's not burning a hole in anyone's pocket because someone can get a decent interest rate by just leaving it in the bank. The stock market, in my opinion, is just too volatile. While things have gone up and people have made money in the stock market, the fact of the matter is that it's really very volatile. And so I guess you just keep your money off to the side and then you wait to see, you know, where there's an opportunity to do something. But the idea that I buy a property and tomorrow it's worth more, or I buy a property and I could flip it and get out and really do nothing, those things don't exist anymore.
Right. And, you know, Barry, it actually, one of the benefits of real estate is a tax benefit. Am I right?
Yeah.
Depreciation, right? So why not diversify? Why not have some money in the bank? And actually, let me ask you a question, Barry. Do you pay taxes?
I do.
If you pay taxes, then you might want to keep looking for some real estate so you can get some tax shelter, right?
You sound like my financial advisor. So he said diversify and don't make a dumb deal. And in the meantime, try and stay out of trouble, right?
Right, exactly. You know, people always ask me, Dimitri, is it a good time to buy? And they've been asking me that for 30 years.
And if they'd told you, if they'd asked you that 30 years ago, and you would have said if you were going to keep the property for 30 years, every day is a good time to buy.
Right. And Barry, you know what I ask him? I ask him, like for you, Barry, I said, Barry, do you pay taxes? And if you say yes, I say maybe it's a good time to buy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with all of the benefits of that, where you don't get that by leaving it in the bank. The flip side of it is you are in treacherous waters. You really do need to be cognizant of the fact that you could be, I don't want to be the guy who bought at the top and then it takes me 10 or 15 years for the property to come back, or I just buy a property with no cash flow. I mean, those are difficult deals to swallow.
Absolutely.
And so for the folks out there that are thinking about buying, or think and if they do buy, almost everybody gets a loan of some sort or fashion to some degree. I think the word of the day is, you know, go out there, be active, look for deals, but be careful, right? I mean,
right, absolutely. And get your financing bucket in order
ahead of time.
When you go out look for a property, make sure you're pre-qualified to buy something. You don't know how many times we get calls from people that still want to buy a piece of property with no money down.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't happen anymore. But if you have your bridge financing up, or you could close in 2 to 3 weeks, that's great. If you have some institutional capital, some bank financing lined up where you can close in 2 to 3 months, that's fine. But most of my people don't want to wait 2 to 3 months to close a loan. They want to close a loan in 2 to 3 weeks. Because see, Barry, you put a down payment on a piece of property. You have an expiration date on that down payment and you can lose it.
Right.
Bottom line. I have a lot of people that come to me and say, hey, Dimitri, I can go get a bank loan for 6%. So they come back 3 months later knocking on my door on a Saturday and they say, Dimitri, I'll take that bridge loan.
Right.
I said, well, what happened? They said, well, we haven't got approved yet, and I'm going to lose my $500,000 hard that I got a down payment. So give me that bridge.
Right. Now they're in a dead panic. And for you, it's opportunity. But for them, it is a full panic, and you're on the run.
Right.
So there's no question. And then some sellers, they want to close quickly. That's the benefit for them. Other sellers, I found, you know, want longer escrows because they want to do an exchange, or they're trying to figure out what to do with their money. But at the end of the day, you've got to have what we call in our office certainty of close, right? You, as a seller, you need a buyer who you know is going to make the deal. You can't just hang out hoping the guy's going to go get his loan or find some money. And then as a buyer, I mean, I don't know how you'd sleep at night if you knew you couldn't pull the trigger on whatever it is that you bit off.
Right. Exactly.
So in terms of Orange County, let's talk about that for a second. Lots of growth, lots of history. We've both seen it happen. How do you view Orange County as a place to live, a place to work, a place to invest in the future? Is it still going to be land of opportunity?
I still love Orange County, Barry. Kind of grew up here from the 60s till now when I was a child, and I've seen a lot of growth. I've seen a lot of opportunity. I think if you knock on enough doors, you'll find an opportunity. Sometimes you need to act on it right away. I think Orange County is very stable. I think Orange County has a lot of future growth still. And I would still invest in Orange County. The only challenge with Orange County is it's very expensive.
Yes, the barrier to entry is certainly not what it used to be. And if you have lower loan to values from a financing standpoint, you need a lot more cash to make a deal than you used to back in the day.
Right? Absolutely.
But I agree with you. I think long term, Orange County is a solid place to be. The demographics, the dynamics of business, certainly the weather and the proximity to the coast, all of those things, traffic aside, politics aside, it's a great place to be, but it is expensive, right?
And there's a lot of transplants here, Barry. Let me ask you a question, Barry. Where are you from?
Yeah, I'm from Chicago.
And Barry, I was born in Denver.
Right.
And here we are.
Right. Very few people, well, now younger people, where are you from? You say California, but I know when we first moved here, almost no one was from California. Everybody was from someplace else.
Right.
And so there's still this influx of people, which then creates the drive and the need for housing and all these other things.
And Barry, correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I both came here for opportunity. Am I right?
And to get out of the snow.
Right. Right. So, we both came from snowy areas.
Look,
that's for sure.
I love Chicago in June for about 3 weeks, and then I'm good, right? There's a lot to be said for that. I was reading an article about a family who moved to Iowa. They thought it was much cheaper, and they got there, and they didn't like it. Right? So I always tell people, look, it's cheaper in other places, but you do have to live there, right? And so for Orange County, the good news is, living here is not such a bad deal.
Exactly.
So with all of that said, I know it always goes quickly. Paul's waving at me that we're closing out of time and need to move on and wrap it up. But for those folks out there, in terms of the rest of 2024, what can we expect and what should people look for in kind of a summary of it? More of the same?
Yeah, I think in this year, I think it's, like I mentioned, it's an election year. There's a lot of negative news out there. But I think if you stay positive, I think if you look for opportunities, you'll find something.
Yeah, I agree. And like we say on the golf course, if you keep your head down and you hit it long and straight, you should be okay.
Right. I always say, Barry, if you conceive and believe, you will achieve. And keep your PMA going, not your PMS. And PMA is positive mental attitude.
I like it. I'm going to leave it there. Otherwise, we keep going with one-liners all day. If folks want to reach you and they want to find out more about your company, what's the website or where can they go?
Feel free to visit us at capitalequity.com. Our email is gocapitalequity@aol.com. And our phone number is 714-258-0177 for any commercial real estate financing needs, whether it's a $500,000 loan or a $100 million loan. We've been around since 1989, so I think we kind of know what we're doing, Barry.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it, and I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your thoughts and your history and your input, and much continued success to you and your family and your business. Dimitri Gutierrez, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Barry. It's an honor to be here and a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. So for all the folks out there, I'm Barry Saywitz. We will see you back here next week on Let's Talk Real Estate. Thanks for everybody for tuning in. Thanks for everybody here in the station for putting it on. We'll see you back here next week.
Well, there you have it. You've been listening to Let's Talk Real Estate, your weekly BS with Barry Saywitz about the current state of the real commercial real estate market right here in Southern California. On Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studio here at the University of California Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center.